song title again?
And I did not live the little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
That was a genuine answer.
I don't think he cares. He doesn't care. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I don't really know all the answers yet. I mean, that's going to be solved here as time goes on. But I thought it was, you know, definitely something to think about as far as whether or not they will. I know we talked about it in our prediction podcast on whether or not the two of them will have a baby. But honestly, I think this thing's all going to come crashing down before they even get to that part. You know what I mean? I really do.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess we will find out.
We have not mentioned I am listening to the Mad Men podcast. Or you are, too, right now. The host does a lot of the work. His guest host... I'm going to be a little blunt here, no offense to anybody. I don't think fully pulls his weight. And so it's left to our poor host of the Mad Men podcast, which I listen to every episode. You know, they really get into the details of all these people as if they are real. Hang on, I got to put up the windows. Like these lives are real, and holy shit, what's Dom gonna do next, and what's the relationship with Pete, and so on.
It must have been something that happened to him.
Shall we just move on and just catch the news? Maybe just a little bit of the news, okay?
So this whole setup was to show us basically to answer that whole question, basically for the most part, wasn't it? I don't know how many people kind of remember a lot of. Do you remember that conversation he had? Remember we?
No. Go back and listen to it. Sorry if that was a bit abrupt. I should be doing a better job. I just thought, you know, it's going to be 5 o'clock. Well, that's kind of nice, isn't it? Okay. Here we go. Let's see what they have to say about Boston.
CBC News. It's 3 o'clock Mountain, 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern. Good afternoon. I'm Bernie McNamee with The World This Hour. Several people remain missing following last night's massive explosion that devastated a small Texas farming community. It had been reported that the fire and ensuing blast at a fertilizer plant killed at least 5 people in the town of West near Waco. Several remain missing, including firefighters. The number of injured was reported at more than 160. But at a news conference just minutes ago, officials refused to confirm any number, only saying that there are fatalities. The CBC's Jennifer Westaway is in West.
The explosion was so powerful it registered as a seismic event, like an earthquake.
Oh, you okay?
I can't hear.
Panicked residents ran for their trucks. Others were felled by flying debris. The blast was felt as far as 70 kilometers away. And
poor little kids saying, let's get out of here.
Right off their feet.
Roar, I thought it was lightning striking the house, and I felt myself flying through the air.
Just fire everywhere and just bodies on the ground, bloody bodies, people in panic.
Houses were flattened within a 5-block radius. An apartment complex nearly toppled. Search and rescue teams are working slowly, combing through unstable rubble. Officials are doubtful there are any survivors yet to be found, but still hope some firefighters remain unaccounted for. Texas Governor Rick Perry called it a nightmare scenario for the small 2,800-member town of West.
This tragedy has most likely hit every family. It's touched practically everyone in that town.
Investigators from several government agencies are still arriving to sift through the ruins of the fertilizer plant. No cause determined yet for the fire that sparked the deadly blast. Jennifer Westaway, CBC News, West Texas.
A Mississippi man accused of mailing letters containing the poison ricin has been formally charged with threatening President Barack Obama. 45-year-old Paul Kevin Curtis was arrested last night after letters addressed to Obama and a senator were intercepted in Washington. If convicted, Curtis could face up to 15 years.
If you're an American, you might have noticed that our top news stories are all American.
Together this morning to remember the three people killed and more than 170 injured in Monday's twin bombing. An interfaith service took place in the city's Roman Catholic Cathedral, not far from the site of the explosions. Boston Mayor Thomas Menino.
Nothing will take us down because we take care of one another. Even with the smell of a smoke in the air and blood on the streets, tears in our eyes, we triumphed over that hateful act on Monday afternoon. It's a glorious thing. The love and the strength covers our city.
U.S. President Barack Obama was also among the speakers, and he said the people of Boston will not be intimidated. The CBC's Tom Perry reports.
Barack Obama came to Boston to help this city through its shock and grief, assuring the people of Boston their city will prevail.
Like Bill Ifrit, 78 years old, the runner in the orange tank top who we all saw get knocked down by the blast, we may be momentarily knocked off our feet. But we'll pick ourselves up. We'll keep going. We will finish the race.
Obama vowed to track down and punish those responsible for the bombing that killed three people and injured more than 170. Police still have no suspects in this case, but investigators say they're making progress and want to speak to two people captured on video around the time of the attack. Tom Perry, CBC News, Boston.
And one other note, the FBI has scheduled a news conference for this hour to update the investigation. In this country, the Manitoba government says...
Jesus Christ, eh? Top three stories, all American. That is what Canada is. No wonder my foreign students coming over here don't quite get Canadians. But those are big stories, and they impact us, too. I mean, we feel close to Boston. I didn't know if I was going to go there, and it's crazy. This is like Thursday afternoon. The blast happened Monday. And by the time you hear this, there's going to be further developments and suspects and who knows if they'll arrest somebody. I'm with a lot of people who are saying openly, oh, my God, I hope these are not Muslim extremists behind this, because that is going to release so much hate. And it would be so much easier for America if it was homegrown, some crazy fanatic within their own country who just had this hate on for things American and whatever has happened in the Oklahoma bombing and so on. But I don't know, and I guess it's really pointless to talk about it right now. God, it's really hard to move from that because I got into an argument with my son this last night, I guess. And part of it is just the frustration of communicating with somebody who has to make his opinions known loudly and clearly. And I feel, hey, but we're on the same side here. You're not listening to me. And I've mentioned before on this podcast, I am so emotionally immature that I get sucked in and I start getting angry and I start, you know, getting very aggressive and loud and argumentative. And then he says, what are you getting all excited about for? And I said, because you're pushing my buttons. Jesus. And I wish I could grow up a little. I wish I could mature and I wish I could handle this better. Basically, I mean, the discussion came about, wait a minute, that same day in Iraq, 60 people were killed in another car bomb. And there was only three in America, and yet all the world, all the news is America, and you won't hear anything about the people in Iraq. And I wanted to say that too, and I wanted to say it on this podcast. Like, every one of them has a mother, a sister, a brother, a father, a cousin, you know. Everybody else is suffering for every death. And if only humanity would find other ways to solve problems, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. So I don't know, did I just waste a whole lot of your time playing a newscast? Part of me was thinking, well, this is kind of historic, and maybe I should just leave it in there to peg this podcast at a period of time. Here it is, April what? April the, Monday is the 22nd, 18th or something. And my party is the 20th, as you know. And I've just come back from the bank where I got like $20 $10 bills in case I have to give change to people. Handed me 20s to pay for the movie. And I got a box of 18 little boxes of chip, or a box of those little bags of Halloween-sized chips, you know, in case people get the munchies when they're drinking their beer during the movie. And just little stuff I felt I wanted to do, I had to do, I needed to do. Should have got two. All the little bit of planning. I just want it to go well, and I want people to have a nice time. And I'm not nervous about it at all, but I'm just, I don't want to forget anything, and I want it to be a nice time. And I want people to think, fuck, am I ever glad I came to Ken's little party, the theater. That was really nice. I'm expecting two different crowds. One group who are going to come to the theater to see the movie The Substance and hang around. And I'm going to insist on playing that little game and maybe making a speech, having some beer. And then another group who are going to come in the evening to the McGugan's pub across the street. And hopefully there'll be a crossover if some people will join both, not just Brian and I. But we'll see how it all plays out. It's a very, very busy time at school, and our final exams are Monday, and we got to get all these papers in. But hell, you don't need to know any of that. I am excited, looking forward to taking this course I told you I was signed up for on counseling, the overview. Speaking of which, let's jump into some Carl Rogers here. I've talked about him before. I've talked about this favorite book, Carl Rogers on Becoming a Person, the one my Bible when I was in university 40-odd years ago. And there's a section on creativity, toward a theory of creativity, and I'm just going to read a little bit, because he's talking about, Rogers was the one who basically invented client-centered therapy, saying, hey, it's time for us to stop being doctors and sick people and recognize that we're all human, and every human has the potential for growth within us, and all of us want to fully realize who we are, and we do this by gradually gaining confidence and understanding, and we do this with the support of others and the encouragement and love. And it's very much a 60s sort of view of the world, although a lot of this book was, you know, written, taken from lectures in the early 50s. So he was way ahead of his time, and his name still lives on today. Anybody who studied psychology would know Rogers. And the group therapy that I took, which basically I would say turned my life around when I was a young man, 25, out in Vancouver, and in kind of messed up shape, and I went into a group therapy, basically following his principles. I mean, I lived the therapy, went through it, not just studied about it, and it did wonders for me. And I think the conclusion I came to, the conclusion I always want to share with people, is, hey, now I realize we're all fragile. We're all so easily broken. And once you recognize that in yourself and in others, you sort of feel a little better about everybody. Because the rest of it is just a facade, you know, trying to hide the fact that you're fragile and people wanting to bluff their way through life. Well, hey, stop doing that. Be real. Be honest. Be open with your feelings. So anyway, Rogers did a little section in the book called Toward a Theory of Creativity. I'm going to read a little bit of only the stuff that I've highlighted. This is my original blue pen from, again, 40 years ago. My definition, then, of the creative process is that it is the emergence in action of a novel relational product growing out of the uniqueness of the individual on the one hand and the materials, events, people, or circumstances of his life on the other. So a relational product going out of the uniqueness of the individual and then the things that he has in his life that he's, I guess, being creative with. The very essence of the creative is its novelty, and hence we have no standard by which to judge it. He makes the point earlier on that you can't define creativity by how good something is, because you have to consider creative a little child's finger painting drawing and the theory of relativity by the same standards. And I really like that point. Moving on. He's talking about the inner conditions of constructive creativity. He's going on. Of course, Rogers is always positive, and he wants to talk about being constructive. Also, by the way, when he talked about the act of creativity, he said you can't put a moral standard on it. The person who designs weapons of mass destruction, the person who designs instruments of torture, can also be considered creative. It's just an ugly thing, and of course Rogers would want us all to move in a direction of doing things that are harmonious and that make life better for everybody. In a person who is open to experience, each stimulus is freely relayed through the nervous system without being distorted by any process of defensiveness. Like, being open and be open and things will flow through you. I'm just flipping pages here. The more the individual has available to himself a sensitive awareness of all phases of his experience, the more sure we can be that his creativity will be personally and socially constructive. Now, a lot of people would have trouble with that, saying that's kind of airy-fairy. Gosh, I better stop there. I like this one, just ending off. From the very nature of the inner conditions of creativity, it is clear that they cannot be forced, but must be permitted to emerge. Now, I believe it or not, boys and girls, I firmly believe that is what I do with this podcast. I let it emerge. And I don't try, I don't struggle, I don't put on the brakes, I don't wrestle with it, I just let it happen. And it's fun, it feels good, and this is what you get. I want to give a shout-out to, now I've probably forgotten his name, from Eureka, Missouri. I have a listener in Eureka, Missouri, and I'm thrilled, and forgive me, I wrote back to you today. I was so happy to get your message. I always say when people out of the blue have been listening and then maybe they don't contact, oh, this person says maybe he contacted me once before, and I apologize for missing that, of just sort of tossing me a message. Hey, dude, I'm out there and I'm listening and I enjoy your show. I listen every week. It just makes me feel so damn good. And it's from Jim. I won't give Jim's last name in case he doesn't want me to give his last name, but I'm a longtime follower who listens to all your episodes. I have wanted to write you off and just to say that I enjoy the perspective of a fellow traveler, but other things get in the way. Such is my life in a nutshell. Yes, indeed. I did write a couple of years ago saying that I enjoy the perspective of someone outside of the U.S. to balance out the ubiquitous American voice. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, and I also, Jim, I apologize for giving you all that American news. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and ideas with this hardworking stiff who tunes in every week just to know that all is right with the Scarborough within the Scarborough Dude universe. I admire your honesty and forthrightness. That's from Jim in Eureka, Missouri. Thank you so much for that. And boys and girls, if you're out there too listening and you've never written in before and you'd like to send me a comment, you send it to DicksonJanes, DicksonJanes at gmail.com and I'll get it. And who knows, I might even read it out on the air. So I'm going to end there. This is just kind of a warm-up. This is the clip you'll get before my birthday celebrations. And of course, maybe you'll get a little bit of noise from that day. Although I know it's going to be absolute chaos, which is the way I like it. And then you'll hear something else at the end of it all. So there you go. Time for me to get home and get on with things. So thanks for listening. I am here reporting to you from the Scarborough Civic Center. Back to that incident in Boston. It is hard to understand how people can do such hateful things, like just intentionally, not just kill, but maim, inflict pain and on so many people. To what purpose could this possibly serve? Is it, you'd think, well, it must be revenge for some wrong. And, oh, dear, 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 dear. I only wish there were other ways to sort all this out. But we'll leave it at that. There was a cartoonist, Jay, if I could find his thing. It was very good. Boston, yeah. I put it up. I wanted to share it with my students tomorrow. I guess if you'll forgive me, I'll just go on. This is from Patton Oswalt. Now, I don't know, but I guess he's a well-known comedian. The face looks familiar, but I just don't know him. Patton Oswalt, S-W-A-L-T. You probably know him better than I do. Boston, fucking horrible. And I guess he goes on to say, you know, how horrible this is. But the vast majority stands out, stands against that darkness. And like white blood cells attacking a virus, they dilute and weaken and eventually wash away the evildoers and, more importantly, the damage they wreak. This is beyond religion or creed or nation. We would not be here if humanity were inherently evil. We'd have eaten ourselves alive long ago. So when you spot violence or bigotry or intolerance or fear or just garden variety misogyny, hatred or ignorance, just look it in the eye and think, the good outnumber you, and we always will. And I really like that that note, and I'm going to end on that one. So there you go. Wonderful. You can Google that. Take care, boys and girls, and I'll be back at you real soon. Scarborough Dude signing out from the Scarborough Civic Center. Bye for now.
Many a year ago in old Sorrento, a certain ditty was quite the thing. Whenever a mother rocked her baby in Sorrento, this little ditty she used to sing. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, Angelawa, Kukula, Goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, Angelawa, Kukula, Goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. All the stars are in the skies, ready to say goodnight. Can't you see your doll is sleepy too? Close your drowsy little eyes, Mama will hold you tight while she sings a lullaby to you. Oh, chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, Angelawa, Kukula, Goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep.
Chibaba, 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 chihuahua, Angelawa.
Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, Angelawa, Kukula, Goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, Angelawa, Kukula, Goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep.
All the stars are in the skies, ready to say goodnight. Good night. Can't you see your doll is sleepy too? Close your drowsy little eyes, Mama will hold you tight while she sings a lullaby to you ever so sweetly.
Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, Angelawa, Kukula, Goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep.
And we're rolling. Good morning to you. That's a good morning to me. I just had in my mind I needed pancakes. There are no decent, you know, all-day breakfast places conveniently nearby. I could have made an effort. Yeah, I should have gone somewhere else. But instead, damn it, I went to McDonald's because I knew I could get them right away. And It would be cheap enough, and I'd be done. So here I am with what's left of my McDonald's hot caution coffee, sitting on a park bench, the park bench at the point in the Bluffers boat launch area. It is a lovely day. It's cold. It's still cold. Cold in the air, but that's not bad. And it's sunny. And you can feel that sun just doing its work, trying to warm up the air for us. Yeah, it's Sunday, April 21st. So this is the morning after that party I talked much too much about. I'm going to put something in here. Last night, Friday night, coming home on the subway, I had to give a little talk about education in Canada. My last function, really, in a way, of the Canada-Japan Society, other than our AGM when I'll step down. I gave this little talk, and I left early. And on the way home, I thought I'll just play back one of my last podcast. And I listened to the part about how I was talking about the creative aspect of making those game cards, you know. What did Ken use to write his name on the wall of the YWCA in Montreal? And, of course, the answer was his penis, because I pissed my name on the wall. I thought that was very clever. And his penis became a sort of a universal answer for many of the other questions that could have fit. But anyway, I listened to the podcast, thought, my God, this is boring. I'm inside my head. I'm listening, and I'm following this process. Like, damn, it was fun. I made this thing. I created this little game. There was a lot of juices flowing, you know? But listening back to it, I thought, oh my God, what dribble if you're, not into it. There's nothing exciting here for you, the listener. And it made me think, maybe it's time for me to back off a little bit. Maybe as I approach episode 400, that I take a break from this, because I am beginning to repeat myself. I know people are dropping off, old, faithful, long-time listeners, as much as there are lots of you out there right now listening who are saying, oh, don't do that, dude, go for 500. So this is not a threat, this is not a promise, this is just a reflection that I'll see when I get to episode 400 if maybe it's time to take a break. I got to tell you, what I really enjoy are those conversations with Tim Coyne, and I would happily do those because there's an exchange of energy, and it's fun, and there's more laughter. And then last night at the party, I met with the former crew of Gappage, the Closet Geek and the intern. And it was really nice to see them together and tease a little bit. And we've agreed to do maybe one last Gappage, a wrap-up, an overview. Maybe it is dead, it's just not going to work. But as much as that show never caught on, and that's fine, quite understandable, in fact, the thing is, it was all about the process, the fun of doing it. And I guess that's why I've kept on for so long. Like, it's actually quite pleasant to sit on a park bench in a Glenn Gould position with my arm over the back of the bench, feeling the sun beating down on my face, holding this mic in my hand. My body completely relaxed, my mind just flowing and feeling good with every little breezy part of the day. And just talk and send this voice out there into the far reaches, all the way to Missouri. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. Stay tuned. You're going to get at least episode 400, and then we'll decide, maybe a summer vacation or something, I don't know. And I'll have to see. Well, I guess the question is, what else would I do with my time? Well, damn it, there's any number of things around the home I should be doing. But we're getting ahead of ourselves here. The party last night was a blast. It was just as I had hoped, and I did. When you're planning something, you're thinking, okay, well, what do I have to do? What about this? What about this? How's it going to unfold? And you want it to go well, and it did. There were as I expected. There was a flow of parties. It was like my birthday. People arrived at different times, and so there were I was going to say confabulations. I don't think that is a word, but configurations of conversations and people interacting, and that's really what I wanted. Like, I love to stop when I'm in a party situation
I just put myself in a spot, a little bit of a distance from everyone else, and just look around and watch the conversations happening, and it always makes me happy. And there was a lot of that last night. So Vinyl Countdown, true to their word, they all came and they were there for the show. Two other teachers from my work, from my college, came. People I've never hung out with socially, never met outside of the staff room, and I was delighted about that. And I think that's the beginning of a further friendship. Then there was Canada Japan Society people who came a little bit later on, and then fellow podcasters Doug, and I'm not going to go through the whole list of names, damn it. Brian, of course. My wife dropped us off. She chose not to come, and quite understandably, I did give her the option, and she had spent her day doing things she would enjoy, which is visiting a Japanese friend. And the movie, The Substance, the story of LSD, was excellent. I was holding out hope. I didn't really know that much about it, but I knew the subject matter, of course. And it was better than I expected. And, of course, having a toke doesn't hurt. Before going into view, thank you. And thanks whoever it was who put a J in my pocket. I don't know who it was, but I found a joint in my pocket. And I'm sure it's not mine. And it looks like one of the good ones. Because some of the other stuff I've been having lately is, holy fuck, wow, woo, just one little hit. That's nice. And that's how it was for the movie. I sat beside a lovely young lady from our college, and It was good. And there was only two other people in the theater not invited to the party. An older couple came in. Or older couple. Hey, probably younger than me. the man who ran the theater, who was very, very most gracious host, gave it to us. You know, he went out to supper, left us alone to his theater. That's pretty cool. Funny part, I guess, was I brought, you know, I'm going to go through the whole thing. I'm sorry. That's what this is about, okay? The party. So bear with me. If you weren't there, well, you probably want to know. There were a lot of decisions to make, you know, like I really had to get those little bags of chips, and I had to arrange with the pizza guy. Okay, I want four large pizzas. These are the toppings delivered at this time, you know, and I've got all that sorted out. And then when it came to the beer, okay, well, how many do you need? Jesus, well, I settled on 48, figuring some of the people aren't going to drink at all, and some will have two or three. And that should work if, you know, because you never know how many people are actually going to show up for an event anyway. So, in the liquor store, where could I buy 24s? Well, I went to the beer store. Now, that was mistake number one. Well, it turned out it was right move number one. Because that's where you can get beer. In Canada, in Ontario, you can go to a Liquor Control Board of Ontario and buy. And they'll have more of the specialty beers, the local breweries, the imports, the British beers, the more higher-end Ontario beers, and so on, as well as some. But then there's the beer store, which just sells beer. And, all sizes. These are the people who are just, I'm just a beer drinker. I need to get 24 Dow and take them home. So I found, okay, 24, Molson X, there's a flat. It was my father's beer. Now, I have to confess to saying the price was right. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't on sale, but it was just, bam, that's what you get for 24. And I'm thinking volume. We need enough beer. You need easy to carry. And then there was another one from Guelph, Ontario, Sleeman's. Can't even remember what it was. Jesus. Anyway, it seemed, I convinced my head at the time, this is easy. This represents Montreal. It's my dad's old beer. That's fitting for my birthday celebration. And the other one from Guelph, owned by a Japanese company, of course, Sapporo bought out Sleeman's. Somehow that seemed fitting, and it was my new life in Ontario. So in my mind, this was the perfect choice. When I got there and actually had to drink the beer, it's that same old shit beer I've never really liked. And what the funniest part was, Brad came up and said, well, what else you got? I said, no, that's it. And we did our little play. Brad is in on acting, too. Brad is a character you don't know so much. He does show up on the Vinyl Countdown. Brad knows theater in his own way. And I stood up and I shouted at him for what he wasn't. you know, my father's beer wasn't good enough for him. What kind of a man are you? What kind of an insult is that on my family name, etc., etc.? And he just hammed it up. Hammed it up, as I love to do. And, of course, he's particular about the ingredients in the beer, and these beer were not going to suit him. So it made me think when I gave my little speech afterwards that I had, during the movie, it got on to me. Like, I had the beer beside me in a pack, and I thought, I don't want one of these. I want the beer I like. What the hell am I doing with this shitty beer? It's my party. Why didn't I get good Ontario beer? The ones that I love, you know? Now, I could say I left a message I thought about going to one of the microbreweries and say, come on, just lay on a keg or something, you know? And I didn't really follow it up, nor did anyone else. So we ended up with this. Now, you probably think I'm going on a long time about this, but this kind of thing, I'm always looking for perfection. I want everything to be right. In the middle of the movie, and I realize I've got a beer in my little cup holder and I'm drinking, but I'm not enjoying any taste to it. Why didn't I get myself like a cobblestone? And why didn't I get, not myself, everybody beer? Well, it cost a lot more. Is that the reason? No, it's just not as convenient. They only come in little six-packs sometimes. They're individual cans, you know. And so whatever the reason, I felt bad. Like, why did I do that? That was a stupid thing. You know, you've arranged this nice party, and yet you got shitty beer. And it could have haunted me. It could have brought me down. But instead, zoom, creativity to the rescue. I just said, well, that's great. I'll just take everybody over. I will apologize for the lousy beer. And then invite everybody over to the pub across the street and say the first round is on me, which is going to cost me a hell of a lot more money, I know. But it was such a happy conclusion, and it's as if I needed... Now, I know some of you are going to think, what are you going on about? All of this is part of how the minutiae of how we live our daily lives, how our brains work, the things we think about. So I was able to joke about, you know, apologize for the lousy beer first one time. Come on over and everybody can have a decent beer at the pub, which we did. So that worked out beautiful. I mean, you know, probably more people came over to the pub than might have otherwise. Now, best part, the whole story, is at the end, we start looking, holy shit, there's a lot of beer left over. Nobody's drinking. Well, it's in the afternoon anyway. Who wants to drink beer? And shitty beer on top of that. Who wants that? So I've got a little portable cooler I bought from home. A really nice, actually, canvas one with a handle and a zippered sleeve in the front. It's good. And I realize, shit, I've filled this thing with beer. And I walk over to the vinyl countdown crew and say, anybody want this? Sure, right away. Thank you, Craig. Jumps out and said, now you are a smart man. You were wise enough. That might have gone unnoticed. Nobody else picked that up. So the vinyl countdown left the party with this container, this very nice side saddle full of beer, leftover beer, and happy to have it, and I'm just so happy. I couldn't think of a better way to end this, to say, good, I didn't want any beer left over, anything left over. This is just absolutely perfect. Everybody wins. And had it been the decent Ontario, here's the problem, had I had got the decent Ontario and there was any left, I might have been far more reluctant to share it. I might have been greeting, fuck, I like those beers. I'm keeping those. So I might have kept the good ones. So there we are. If Vinyl Countdown had a little party with some extra beer, everybody's a winner in this. Now, sorry to take so long to drag you through that, but it was on my mind, but not for long. The evening flowed. I did finally get a bite of that cookie that was one of my gifts. Speaking of which, I did not want gifts, and I was very glad not to get any other than this cookie and card from the intern and whoever put that J in my pocket. It wasn't really my birthday to start with. What I really wanted to do, what I felt best about, God, I do waste a lot of time. Oh, my God. What I felt best about was the movie itself. Now, that, then moving to the pub, and then at the end of the night, the Brampton boys came. And if you're a listener to Vinyl, or not Vinyl Countdown, that other fellow out there, Adam, out in the West Coast, you'll know who I'm talking about. They brought out the game with a friend, and I said, Peter, I can't remember his name. They showed up late, and it was just Anthony, Marco, Brian, and me, and the three of them from Brampton. And we played Cards Against Humanity, and it was actually quite fun. I hadn't played it before. I'd heard about it, a lot of buzz about it on the internet. All you social media types know what I'm talking about. Anthony had played it before. I won. I was the first to get 10 question cards. It was a blast. And it was kind of neat that the day started with my card game. I did insist on everybody play. I'm going to jump around now and end it on a card game. After the movie, everybody drags into the hall. And I see everybody's already clustered in their groups. The people who know each other are standing with each other. Nobody's mixing. And, of course, the whole purpose of my little card game was that everybody would have two question cards, two answer cards, whatever the number were, till all the cards are distributed and have to match them up. And some people were being puzzled. Oh, what's this? I don't get this. How do you do this? But everybody did move around. Everybody talked. I just backed out of the equation altogether. I watched, and I loved it to see people asking each other these stupid questions and trading cards and matching them up. And then being quite happy when they got a matching card. You know, what was the first thing Ken bought in Paris in 1969 and still has today? And the answer to that one, if somebody had a switchblade knife. Yes, indeed. You know, it wasn't a tire iron. It was a switchblade knife. And then people would give me the cards. Okay, match. And so I was able to afterwards go group to group, collect. Yes, you're right. Yeah, no, that's not right. No, and they'd have to go back and mingle again and find somebody else who had a different answer until they all matched up. And I think the last one to get matched probably was the penis card. So anyway, I'm just going on a lot and with the feeling that maybe you don't understand what I'm really talking about. What I'm talking about is sitting in a classroom while my students are writing an exam, and where perhaps I should have been thinking about this exam they're writing, or the next one they're going to write, or something to do with the work, I instead had my iPad out and I start making these questions and planning this little game. And this game eventually gets played, the one and only ever time it ever will be, in real life, at the party I threw for myself. I felt really, really good about that. I felt good about the whole thing. And on top of it all, Anthony Marco, end of the night, Anthony Marco drove me home, drove Brian home, all the way opposite direction to where he was going. And it was wonderful to arrive home before midnight, not hungover, not even drunk, in my, and you know, wake up not hungover in my own bed this morning. So thank you, Anthony, for coming all the way out and joining the party. And we talked a lot about Anthony's event coming up in July. In Hamilton, stay tuned for that. I think we got, Anthony had a chance to talk to a lot of people about it last night, and boy, I think we're going to have a solid core of ex-Pabsters as well showing up for this. So I guess I've gone on enough, yes indeed, in almost 19 minutes. Thank you, everybody. Anybody who happens to be of the group who listens to this podcast and went to the party last night, your presence warmed my heart, really. It was just fun. It just went the way I wanted. I feel really good. I did commemorate, to me, what is a big number, turning 65 next week. I haven't even gone on about the movie. So much of what they said in that movie was so real and so true, and I was riveted. And I think it would have had a very different impact on other people because, I mean, it showed, I want to go see it again. I want you to go see it. Check out The Substance if it's around. Really well done, especially the parts with Albert Hoffman, right up until he died last year at the age of 102. He's a scientist who discovered this. He got LSD. He knew its importance. Other doctors, psychiatrists, it covered the whole story. There was Timothy Leary there. I'm only going to say one thing. I feel so vindicated for being such a defender of Timothy Leary. And you know, I've owned up to his flaws. And the whole LSD thing of how important it is and how wicked it is to live in what appears sometimes to be a totalitarian government where they just ban it, make it illegal, it's too dangerous. And all these scientists with their clipboards, you know, in the 50s, and getting it over to the CIA, these people said, ask them, well, what are you seeing? Well, what's it feel like? And the people answering, they just got these grins on their face. I can't tell you. It's too wonderful. And I know what they're seeing. I know what they're experiencing. And the guy with the clipboard doesn't have a fucking clue. But the psychiatrist of the day, and one of them in particular, I can't remember his name, we're saying, wow, this is amazing. This is an amazing tool. Oh, it covered everything. It covered the whole damn range. God damn, I love that movie. I'm really, really happy. What a perfect commemoration for my birthday party. The perfect timing, the way everything just fucking fell into place. On a streetcar, Brian points out, hey, I know that theater. The guy in there says you can have a party. Whoa, I need a party. Hey, what's showing? Holy shit, 420. The Substance? This is it. Thank you, God. There was a point during the day when I really, really felt that. Thank you, God, for all these blessings. That God that I don't believe in. Thank you. Bye for now. Hope you liked whatever I put in there. If I included music with this podcast, and I certainly hope I did, then I've only got about 10 minutes left, if that, to wrap this baby up. This is Dixon Jane's podcast number 397. And the more I think about it, boys and girls, the more I think I have to take a break at number 400. The time is coming, I realize it. It might be part of this pattern, the fact that I'm turning 65 and using that as an excuse to sort of make some other changes, like resigning from Canada Japan Society and resigning from the community youth justice committee I was involved in, starting instead with a new course in counseling and just making some changes. And I really feel as I listen back, I am getting kind of boring. And if I'm bored with it, my God, it must be worse for you. I don't think I'll... I'm certainly never going to give up podcasting altogether. I think I'll podcast till the day I die. You know, you'll be hearing me from my motorized wheelchair, which I expect to be in 10 years. The things I hate now, I think that's the direction I'm heading in. I would like, as I mentioned, maybe to do a few special ones here and there with some friends, you know, get back into it. I'm thinking about, like, this summer, in August, I'm going to be traveling throughout Nova Scotia in a van with the Barstool Buddha, and it would seem a shame not to record some of that. But maybe by then I'll do something different. Maybe I'll change the format. It won't be these pre-styled one-hour shows. I'd really like to be able to just focus on a particular theme or topic and then just send out that clip, whatever, you know, whatever length it is. Maybe something along the lines of what Anthony tries to do with love-hate things, you know. Here's where we're going to go today. And explore one theme. That may be easier for you. I tend to do that within a clip. But the totality, the one-hour Dixon Jane's podcast is, it, you know, it's all over the place. It's an hour of listening, and I've liked the format. It's worked well, but I just think it's time for a change. Okay? What else was I going to say? I want to talk about the LSD movie again a little more, because it's still resonating with me. I've been talking to people about it, people who saw it and who didn't see it. What else was I going to say about this ending? Yeah, I'm going to put everything up, so I would encourage anybody who's come in late to go back to the archives, and there'll be links up on my blog for at blogspot.com for Dixon Jeans. There'll be a link to every show, so they'll be up there, and if you've tuned in late, go back randomly and listen to one from the past. I keep coming up with one... Oh, yes, I know what it is. It's actually got to the point now where I'm sort of too embarrassed to really give it out. I tell you, you know, I get drunk or I get high, especially when I get high, and I meet somebody new. I say, oh, hey, listen, you're talking to the Scarborough dude. Go listen to my podcast. And I never hear from them again. I know they tune in once. They go, who the fuck is that old man? And I'm really at the point now where I've finally become very reluctant to tell anybody about this podcast. I just don't think there's enough there that's of interest to somebody who hasn't already maybe bought into it from the start. Those of you who've been listening for a long time, you've invested in me. You know what you're getting, and I'm certainly thrilled about that. And you know, but for somebody new just randomly listening to this, there's absolutely, I don't think, anything of value to it. I would rather have more serious talks in depth. For example, I just listened to the latest, I was going to say the psilocybin report. You know the guy I listened to? Oh, shit. You see, this is the problem, too, that when your mind is mush and you're just sort of grasping to find the psychedelic salon. Another talk by Terence McKinnon. Man, can that guy string words together. Wow. But he really came across some powerful expressions and ideas that are way out there. But that's a part of me. Some people might say the flaky side of me, but that's a part that I really believe in. And I'd like to do more of that. And I'm afraid what's happened with this podcast is I just get caught up and can't seem to escape the minutiae of my daily life. Part of it is I don't want to keep going back and reliving the past, although I think there are still stories to be mined. But that I'm excited about the present that I'm living. And so rather than this be some old guy looking back on his life, it tends to be some guy sitting on a park bench talking about the wind on his face or up his ass or whatever. Right now, I'm sitting in my anti-gravity chair on the back deck of my house. It's the middle of the day. It's exam week at my college, so I've just got a break between two exams that students are writing. I thought I'd come home, grab a bite, and wrap up this podcast today, because I'm going to be too busy. I want to direct you back to, having said that, my other podcast that was temporarily put to sleep and has now been resurrected, brought back from the dead. Because you'll hear, that's where you'll hear the Talking to Tim 3, the last sort of interview I did with Tim Coyne, although he turned the tables on me. I want to do more of those. I hope Tim does too. And I recommend that for new listening. So there'll be stuff out there, but visit DixonJanes at blogspot.com and follow some of the links. Check out, having said that, and maybe there'll be some new stuff up there. Anyway, so again, thank you. Back to the LSD story. The point that really resonated was, well, first of all, like the horror of the CIA and the military trying to use this as a weapon. If you could just spray this, one idea, if you could spray this over a whole town, you'd be able to walk into the town without firing a shot. Nobody would be able to put up any kind of fight. And there was a wonderful scene where they gave it to soldiers, and they simply could not march and parade. They just burst into giggles, looking at each other's face. They completely fell apart. It was the funniest clip in the movie. But scary that you'd give this to unsuspecting people as an experiment, you know. But the scariest part to me is the, you know, you grow up thinking, oh my God, thank God I don't live under communism, that I live under this great American banner of freedom of expression and freedom, and this is what everything's founded on, and God damn it, it's not, it never has been. This is an illusion. This is controlled fantasy. To believe that people have freedom in America. People are, the jails are full of people locked up for smoking pot to start with, or minor drug dealers. But the fact that they took LSD and bam, decided universally to make it illegal. Now, a lot of people blame Timothy Leary for that, and I don't think that's quite fair because they did everything to discredit him, and he was very clear about his message. You don't just casually do this stuff. You do it with guides under the right circumstances. Control your setting. He said that time and time again. He never wanted it. But he also was famous for saying, turn on, tune in, drop out. And the dropping out part scared the shit out of American authority. Nixon calling him the most dangerous man in America. And even on this movie, The Substance, you could see when you looked at Leary as he got a little older, he began to look a little frightening as, uh-oh, this guy could be the dark messiah. The one who's, you know, the Pied Piper who's leading the youth astray. But basically, that was only part of the story. There was a huge movement swirling all around him, and they played. It was wonderful to see them play All You Need Is Love, the Beatles, and that whole anti-war movement that was so strong and so important at this time in American history. And the government fought back, and they discredited. I'm sure they were happy to have the bikers move in and take over control of the drug trade and introduce speed and heroin and all this shit that destroyed that summer of love. It was poison from within, tragically. And people were no longer going for spiritual enlightenment, only a very minor group sort of left. They lost the ideals. It just became escapism, and it wasn't meant to be that way at all. And the thing that resonated in the movie was especially with Albert Hoffman and another psychiatrist who were saying this is just a catalyst. It's not the LSD. It just sort of opens a door, like, you know, the Aldous Huxley's The Doors of Perception, when he talked about mescaline, that opens a door to another part of our mind that we can't normally access without some kind of help. Maybe, you know, 20 years of meditating in a cave might get you there, but this was a shortcut, triggered automatically. And when the men with clipboards were asking, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? And they would just giggle and laugh and say, I can't tell you. I know firsthand from that experience that you were in the face of God. You had entered a place where you knew we should be. You were at a higher level of awareness, of consciousness, of being tuned in, of connected to some great mindset out in the cosmos. You were part of it. It wasn't an illusion. The hallucinations are an illusion, of course, the colors, the sounds. But this sense that you were connected to something else, something so much bigger and wiser than you, an all-knowing thing, this godlike thing that you were a part of, that you could see, that you could feel, that you could experience. It's just, oh my God, it was pure ecstasy. And they took that away. They said, we can't have a nation on this religious pilgrimage. This is far too dangerous. And we end up with the world we have today. And I was just thinking that Imagine if they hadn't stopped that. Imagine if it had been more and more widespread and more people took this religious, spiritual journey and would we live in a different place? Would our values be different? Would we be in the mess we are in now? You look at the, and I'll say it boldly, forgive me, sickness of American culture, because it is sick and it is wrong, and this doesn't justify planting bombs at marathons. It just is waking up to the fact that something has gone terribly wrong with our values and our belief system and what we march towards. And this little window, this little blip in time when people were beginning to challenge that and think maybe there is another way, another path, another dimension. That was just too much for the military-industrial complex. And I know it sounds like, oh my God, conspiracy theories. It was, folks. It was the government of the United States of America who banned and made this substance illegal. This substance that doctors are using, psychiatrists are using, that people were using it as a holy sacrament. They took it away, they banned it, they outlawed it. So there I've said it. Some of you will just say, oh my God, the dude's just ranting again. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But fuck you, I do know. And I know that we are not in the space we're supposed to be in right now. And I know, as they pointed out at the end of the movie, if I ever find out I've got cancer and I'm dying of some ugly disease, it is my goddamn right and the responsibility of a civilized nation to allow its dying people to have access to drugs like LSD and psilocybin and whatever to make the journey into death that much easier, that much more pleasant. In there, so God damn it, just when I'm starting to get good, I gotta close the doors on this thing. But I think it's time. And don't worry, you know, and there's a very good chance after all 400 comes out, I'll be saying, sorry boys and girls, I made a mistake, here's number 401 and march on towards 500. Thanks for listening as always, and get in touch with you if you can, and on Twitter you can follow if you ask permission. Scarborough Dude. That's Scarborough Dude. And DixonJeans@gmail.com. All right. Bye for now.